thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymyr Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymyrbaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
Our reading this morning is found from Psalm 16. Psalm number 16, reading from verse 8 through to verse 11. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Amen.
Good morning. How are you going? Good. Okay, well, since I've been here for about 2 months now, I think it's time for us to develop a little trust together. So I was thinking that I was going to cross my arms and do a trust fall, and hopefully someone would catch me, but I'd probably knock myself out unconscious and have carpet burns on my face, so we won't do that one. But what better way to get to know each other than we do karaoke together? Cue nervous laughter. So what we're going to do is kind of like dueling banjos, that I'm going to sing a line and then you're going to sing a line. And there's a good 100 of you here. So, and like when you're building trust, you've got to have some element of risk. So if you don't sing, it's going to be so awkward. So I sing, you sing. We'll start with a really easy song. Nervous laughter again. Okay, well, let's go, all right? Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday,
dear Jesus.
Happy birthday to you.
Easy, you got it. All right, let's up the stakes. Here we go. What about this one? Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to ride.
One horse open
sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to ride.
One horse open sleigh.
Oh, so awkward. Some people went for the big finish, some didn't. All right, here we go. Let's do another one. I'm going to up the stakes again. You think you got this one? Is anyone alive out there? Have we got pulses? Amen. All right, here we go. Ready? Australians, all let us rejoice. With golden soil and wealth for toil.
Our home is the high sea.
Our land abounds in nature's gifts.
Of beauty rich and rare.
In history's page, let every stage. Here we go, big finish. In joyful strains, then let us sing. Give yourselves a round of applause. All right, let's try one more. You got a bit of a groove. Everyone's in. For those playing at home, 4 points up. Going good. All right, you ready? Kilo tasof nafshili sho. Anyone? Have we got any takers? Does anyone even know that song? Name, title, band, genre, anyone? Okay. That really took a dive then. So I'll cut you some slack there. That song is about 3,000 years old. So I'm guessing no one was around, although I know some of you have been here at church since it began. But I'll let you off the hook this time. So what was that song? That was actually part of Psalm 16. Which we read earlier in its native Hebrew language. And what we're going to be looking at is the book of Psalms, which is the sacred poetry and the songs of Israel's worship. And the Psalms are written in a poetic nature and they're intended to actually be sung. I don't know if you've ever seen any footage of the Western Wall in Jerusalem, or otherwise known as the Wailing Wall, and you see the Jews with their awesome black hats and their curls and they're rocking away and singing out the psalms and the scriptures to God. And I don't know if you've ever thought, when you hold your Bible, do you ever really think, I've got a songbook in my hand. I've got 150 of Israel's hottest hits and lyrics right here for me to sing. John Calvin called the Book of Psalms an anatomy of all parts of the soul. And there's such a diverse range of communication there to God. There's a vast array of feelings, there's complaints, there's lament, there's grief, there's confusion. There's lots of common scenarios that we can actually resonate, and a few that are a little bit left field. There's ugly moments, there's messy times, there's unbridled passion, and there's introspective reflection. And as we travel through the Psalms, when we read them, we pass through mighty seas, we are led beside still waters, we stumble through dry and parched lands, and we are set upon a rock. And the imagery and the poetry has resounded with all humanity for centuries. Now, when it comes to Australian culture, we're not kind of like a singing kind of group of people, even though you guys did really good. All the songs we sang earlier are sort of broadly understood in the Australian collective conscience as something that represents something that's meaningful and traditional. But maybe not to the level of a psalm. I guess the closest thing that we would have for a psalm, I guess, in the Sutherland Shire would be the Sharks Club song, Up, Up, Cronulla. Because these songs are poetically arranged, although that one's probably a little bit questionable, but it describes and represents a specific situation, a person or a people group, and these songs are sung at specific occasion representing moments in life. I mean, who ever sings happy birthday when it's not your birthday? Has anyone been kicking around this week singing that? You just don't do it. Who sings Jingle Bells in February? No one. You only sing Jingle Bells in December. Even though it's 38 degree heat outside and there's no snow to dash in, you just sing Jingle Bells in December. It just makes sense. Or the national anthem. We don't sing that when we get up every morning, and we don't sing it when we go to bed at night. We save it for special occasions and more formal moments. And if the Sharks had lost the grand final, no one would have sung the song. You only sing it when you win, over and over and over again. Songs capture passion and they capture emotion. And in the case of the songs that we sing in an Australian culture, they have a specific purpose and place. And likewise, the Psalms that we see have a specific purpose and place. Psalm 16, which Lionel read, was a specialised Thanksgiving psalm. And it's also a song of trust and confidence in God. It was an individual psalm, and it was written from the viewpoint of one person, and it has this peculiar title up the top that says, A Miktam of David. And for some people, there's a lot of conjecture about what a miktam actually is. Some people say it's an engraving. Some people say it's like a musical note, or some people say it's golden, referring to the priceless nature of this psalm. And there are six miktams in the whole book of Psalms, and they recall David's most harrowing experiences as a follower of God. These are the moments when his life was in extreme and immediate danger, and the only thing that would have saved him was miraculous intervention from God. And as you look over Psalm 16, you can tell there's kind of a serious situation kind of going on. I mean, in verse 1 it says, Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. In verse 2 it says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Jumping down to verse 5, it says, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. And then in verse 8 it says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And you kind of only think of those things and talk about things like that when your safety and security and your stability are at risk, when you feel unsafe or you feel threatened. Last night, I heard a bit of a blood-curdling scream, yell kind of thing. I live down near the beach. There's always a whole lot of crazy going on the weekends. You know what I thought when I heard that? I'm like, I hope my doors are locked. I hope the window's locked too. You think of safety when those things are coming up. So there was a situation going on for David in Psalm 16. And while it's not actually clear what the specific circumstance is in Psalm 16, when we cast our mind back over the contours of the life of David, we recognise it's actually been quite tumultuous. We first met him when he's a shepherd boy and he's called out by Samuel. His victory over the Philistines thrusts him into the limelight of the nation. And while he grew in popularity, he soon found himself literally running for his life from Saul. He becomes king, he gets married, he struggles with power, he abuses power, he has children, he loses children, he deals with civil war, national wars, he wrestles to understand his relationship with God, and he has moments of pure brilliance and moments of absolute brutality. And he has varying success and failure over his 40 years as a leader of Israel. But in spite of all that, right at the end of Psalm 16, this miktam of David, in verse 10 and 11, it says, and this is David's words, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with your joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." After he's gone through all that stuff, how can he say that? I mean, did he kind of just copy and paste the ending of another much happier psalm and just so it sounded nice and they all lived happily ever after? Although, I guess, how can you not say that after all these things that he has gone through? There's nothing more galvanizing for your own convictions and clarifying of your own great need for God when you have been through testing times. And in spite of what could have been probably overwhelming and terribly frightening circumstances for David, his song, his psalm, ends with complete trust in God. More than the gravity of the situations that he was facing, which would have absolutely been sucking the life out of him. He's running for his life, literally his life. I mean, has anyone done that lately? No one, unless you're in Syria, running for your life. This guy was in an amazing, insane situation, but it was God's presence that was his reality. It was God's presence where he felt safe. It was God's presence where he felt secure. And it was God's presence where he was not shaken. And because of this, it was actually God's presence that filled him with joy. Above all things, because it was actually a sure thing in all the tumultuous things that were moving and shaking and breaking in his life. He depended on God for his joy rather than the level of joy being dependent on his circumstances. And I think there's something kind of really powerful about us acknowledging God's presence through all of our specific circumstances. No matter how insane or how mundane these circumstances may be in our life. Because when we see people allowing God's presence to transform us in their situation, it's like we actually get a glimpse of God. In the book of Psalms as a whole, we see people pouring out their hearts, their complaints, their prayers, their songs, their successes, their failures, their declarations to God, and their struggles with their faith. Yet, get this, it's the book of Psalms, in the words of the psalmist, where we have the most prophetic references to Jesus in the Old Testament. How does that even work? I mean, would you even think to go, oh, I want to find Jesus, let's go look in the book of Psalms? You'd be like, no, let's hang out in the Gospels. Psalms. Did the psalmists even know when they were writing those things down, when they're going through their stresses and anxiety of life, that they were writing and calling out to the Saviour, to the anointed one, to the Messiah that they were waiting for? Or was it because their hearts were so desperate to meet with God and they were so available for him that Jesus couldn't be apart from that? So he's like, there's a party over here in this heart. And Jesus is there and influencing what they wrote. And equally profound is that because of the book of Psalms has so much prophecy that points to Jesus, it's actually one of the books that is most quoted by Jesus throughout the Gospels. So all these people that are just pouring out their hearts, oh, this, that, and the other, oh, God, where are you? Oh, psalm, 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 just writing all that stuff down, singing, singing, singing. It became a significant part of the Old Testament, but it also ended up in the New Testament, quoted by Jesus in the Gospels and by other writers of the New Testament books. How does that even happen? I decided to become a follower of Jesus at age 19. And I didn't really grow up in a religious sort of background, and the struggle was real for me to try and get my head around religion as a young person and what the Bible meant and how it translated in my life. As a new Christian, seriously, I had all the gear and no idea. I actually thought the book of Psalms was the book of palms, because when I'd seen pictures of the Middle East, they were kind of like sandy and lots of desert and palm trees. So I thought, what, 150 chapters on a book of palms? Yeah, it makes sense. And as a new Christian, I felt really overwhelmed by my complete inability to comprehend God. Don't know if you've been there. I felt utter insufficiency to understand God, and I felt there was so much absent and missing from me for God to do anything of any substance. So in my early 20s, while I'm wrangling out my new faith, thinking, what am I doing here? Why am I following this Jesus? I decided to write my own psalm from the book of Jodine. A song pouring out how I felt, which called into play all the promises that I knew about God, even though I didn't know much. And it was my declaration of trust in God, even though I kind of felt pretty wobbly most of the time. And I've never shared these words with anyone because they've only been sung, cried, screamed at God in my own private time. But I'd like to share them with you, if that's okay. Here we go. Jodine's Psalm. Lord, I am nothing without you. You are my light, my sword, and my truth. You are my comforter in pain. Time and again, you lift those hands which do hang down. The Lord's foundation standeth sure. His word endureth evermore. Lord, come and take me. I love you. For I know not what I do, but I know I'm nothing without you. Lord, here I walk in this world as a pilgrim in a strange land. When I'm heavy in heart, please lead me with your strong hand. I know that you're thinking of me, but your love I cannot comprehend. So now I'll walk with you alone until that day you take me home. You'll call my name, I will cry tears. I've waited for this day for years to know that I will always be with you. I'll hide your word within my heart. From all my past, I will depart. I am your servant right here and right now. Christ Jesus, show me how, because I am nothing without you. It's so funny, because at the times where you feel God is most absent, he is so very present. And in a time when I thought I'm just kind of like wandering around in the dark, trying to work out my Christianity and my faith and read this book of Psalms, God was there. And those words are now engraved like my own miktam on my heart 18 years later. If anything, for me, God's presence has been a growing revelation. From season to season, I grow in awareness that God's presence is real and more available and tangible than I ever could imagine. Most of the time, it's me just trying to get over myself and maybe being a little bit fearful to even go into it. And as I take on the privilege of this role at GBC and as part of all this family, I'm so completely aware of my great need for God's presence. Whew, really gonna need it. And for us as followers of Jesus, God has bent down heaven and earth to all of us at his complete expense. God's will, God's bill, that's what I say. So that he could be in complete union with you. And there is nothing that restricts our access to God or the availability of his presence. We're given the Holy Spirit in us to teach us, to guide us, and to lead us into all truth. We have his church to equip and build us in fellowship. And we have God's word given to us to enable us every opportunity to experience his presence. So how do we experience his presence? I think it's a matter of us offering our presence to him. Just like David did, even though his circumstances were really tough and really dire, even though he was at the end of his own wits, it's a matter of offering ourselves to God with our words, with our needs, with our presence, through our hearts being available and open to him, through us pausing and taking a moment to listen to the Spirit, taking some time to pray and to share our thoughts and concerns with God, and to acknowledge the things that might even be holding us back. He's kind of okay with us if we mention that we're not holy, perfect Christians. And for us to sing the sacred songs within our heart and within our soul, whatever they may be, to him, offering it to him as our presence. And as we become more aware of his presence and we let our presence, I think that's where we get to meet. So what is joy? Joy is in God's presence. And I think that's something really phenomenal that we can take into this week ahead of us. I mean, did anyone realise 7 days? Christmas! Is everyone just in shock or something? And while we kind of love Christmas, it's kind of a bit of a love-hate relationship. Who's thinking, I cannot wait till this is over? Can I get an amen? Kids are putting up their hands. Wow, the kids are even getting fatigued. But how can the reality of God's presence transform and change those moments? I mean, if you're bent out of shape with the weight of stuff that you've got, I've got to go to the shops and get all this stuff, and I've got to go here and get the kids' things, and I've got to wrap stuff, and my hair's getting caught in the wrapping, and take the kids here and do this, and see that uncle, and see that auntie, and take aunt here, and Christmas. Do you think Jesus would like to be part of that? I mean, when you look at the Psalms, they're messy. Jesus shows up in that stuff. He loves that gear. Party at your place. In several hours, we have the carols event. And we have an incredible team of people that have put in so much effort over the years. And it's going to be my first time to see this, so I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to cry because whenever I see communities doing stuff, I'm like, oh, people love each other and they're doing things together. It's so awesome. But my prayer is the same as Moses's. If your presence does not go with us, God, don't let us go out from here. We got nothing. It's the presence of God that transforms things, not only in our lives and our families' lives, but our communities as well. And here we are together at church, like right now, this is happening. You possibly have a list in your head that's going up, I've got to do this, listen. And as soon as she finishes talking, I can't even hear what she's saying, she just hurry up. I'm out of here, I've got to get this stuff done, get things moving. But maybe God just wants you to pause and to be available, because he actually longs for your presence. Wow. How long has it been? It's been a month, a day, a year, a couple of years, 10 years. When have you experienced God's presence and been available for him? Maybe you've had a big year, you're a little bit broken and bruised from that, or maybe you've had a great season of life where things have just been incredible. This is our opportunity to enter into the presence of God and thank him for what he's done. I'd like to invite the musicians up to the platform. And as part of who we are, we're going to finish with an opportunity to respond to God in worship and prayer. And we would love to pray with you. So during the next two songs, please feel free to come forward and pray. Or maybe you actually just need a moment to be in the presence of God. And you can do that where you are, or if you'd like to come and sit down the front in business class where no one ever sits, you're most welcome. It may be difficult or challenging to step out, but if there's any place on earth that we could step out and be awkward for God, you'd think it's God's house. It'd be more awkward if we didn't have people that wanted to pray. And I think if we had a psalm for all of our generations that are here represented today, it'll be the next song that we're about to sing. So let's sing that out and declare our trust and our confidence in God and experience his presence in our souls. Can I ask you to stand as we pray? And I'd just like to invite the prayer team to come forward. Lord, we just thank you for this moment where we get to spend time in safety and in peace in this country and with this family and in your family. Lord, don't let us rush. Don't let us miss this moment. Don't let us burn out of here to do stuff, but let us be here to be with you. Let us feel your presence. Let us be overwhelmed. Let us be overcome. Let us live and experience this thing that we've given our lives to. Lord, we need you. Lord, we want you, and we need your grace daily. Help us to be with you in this moment, and let us experience great joy that overflows into our lives and into our families and into our communities from your presence. We ask these things in Jesus' name.